Welcome to the Anthony and Sabga Caribbean Awards for Excellence podcast, the sound of Caribbean excellence. Here, we feature events, conversations, and interviews with our laureates in science, art, entrepreneurship, and civic activism from around the Caribbean. You may find us online at www.ansacaribbeanawards.com or on Facebook, or visit our YouTube channel, ANSCAFE, ANSCAFE. Carol Phillips is one of the most respected and accomplished authors in the world today. Born in St. Kitts in 1958, his parents emigrated to the UK when he was a babe in arms. He has won many awards for his work, including the Commonwealth Prize and election to the British Royal Society for Literature and the Royal Society for the Arts. He was named the Anthony and Sabga Caribbean Awards for Excellence Laureate in Arts and Letters for 2013. Mr. Phillips visited Port of Spain for the Bocas Lit Fest in May 2019 and spoke about his most recent novel, A View of the Empire at Sunset, published in 2018, and his life and work. The novel is a fictional imagining of the life of Dominican writer Jean Rhys, who left her island for England in 1907 and returned 3 decades later before leaving for good. Here, Mr. Phillips reads a brief passage from A View of the Empire at Sunset.
This morning, there are 2 other women sitting out on deck. She said a polite good morning to them both as she took up her seat, but received only the briefest of smiles in response. The bird-like younger one with plucked eyebrows, who is dressed in a navy blue twinset, she's easy to sum up. No doubt she's returning to the islands to continue to help her husband manage an estate after perhaps visiting relatives or even a child who's been shipped off to a minor public school in the English countryside. The matronly woman is older, closer to her own age, and perhaps not yet 50. Although the muscles on this woman's face have slackened dramatically, she reads an out-of-date newspaper like a man, with the sheet spread out and occupying her full wingspan. But there's plenty of room on deck, so why not? Occasionally, she leans forward and licks a finger to make turning the pages a little easier. And her guess is that the woman is a school teacher of some description, for her shoes seem more functional than fashionable. And lying on the seat next to her is a briefcase. She's noticed that women today no longer seem to find the need to justify or even explain why they exist independently of men. Progress, she assumes, and a part of her envies such modern women. But she wonders, are they any happier? Do they truly know what to do with this freedom? She wonders, is the stern-looking woman sitting opposite her with a man's briefcase on the neighboring chair really what the suffragettes were dreaming of when they chained themselves to railings and threw themselves beneath the feet of galloping horses?
From his first novel, The Final Passage, which was inspired by a return to St. Kitts at the age of 22, his novels, plays, and critical essays have visited a variety of themes, including enslavement, colonialism, displacement, history, memory, and a sometimes deceptive nostalgia for the past. Many of these themes are revisited in A View of the Empire at Sunset.
It's a novel about being in love with a place that you realize doesn't love you. Yeah. And yet it's a profound love that you can never shake. Yeah. Because if you shake that love off, you're losing a part of yourself. That's the plight, I think, of the colonial migrant, which, as I said, the economic migrant, the political migrant, nobody expects to be recognized. You expect to get on with things. But colonial migrants, they have a whole different burden, I think. And I think West Indians in particular felt that much more powerfully than those who came from the Indian subcontinent, because they arrived with the English language, they arrived with Christianity. They were not even vulgar enough to offer up another language, mm-hmm. You know. So why wouldn't they be accepted?
Rhys is best known for the Caribbean classic novel, Wide Sargasso Sea. It is an early act of colonial writing back as Rhys enters a canonical British text, Charlotte Bronte's novel, Jane Eyre, and examines its lone West Indian character, Bertha, the mad woman in the attic, and tells her story. As Mr. Phillips' fictional narrative of her life shows, Rhys was no stranger to the alienation of colonial life herself, and unfortunately found little comfort returning home.
The thing about Jean Rhys' life was she suffered all of those difficulties and more on arrival in Britain in 1907. But returning to Dominica in 1936 for that six-week period was shattering to her. Because, those who are familiar, as you know, I'm sure most people in the audience are, with the state of the Caribbean during the 1930s, there was a great social upheaval. There was great agitation and unrest. The Dominica that she left in 1907 was still very much a colonial, quiet, largely underdeveloped backwater, even within the Caribbean context. The Dominica she returned to was full of agitation and unrest, as was the case throughout the region. Sugar workers were on strike, etc., etc. So there was, to put it bluntly, there was attitude from the Negroes that she was encountering when she went back in 1936 that wasn't there, or she wasn't aware of it when she left in 1907. So I think there was a kind of profound social slash racial disappointment that she felt. Also, she was looking for Dominica to rescue her from the misery of England.
This is an experience which is familiar to many immigrants, seeking what Salman Rushdie called imaginary homelands, which often disappoint them when they return, seeking rejuvenation and renewal.
Much in the same way as when I've been in Africa, in West Africa, I've seen it dozens of times, African Americans arriving, somehow looking for Africa to rescue them from the sense of psychic and emotional turbulence that they feel in the United States of America. But it's not the job of Ghana or Senegal to do that any more than it's the job of Dominica to help her come to terms with England. You know, countries don't do that for you. You can't arrive in Ghana or Mali or Senegal and from Brooklyn or from Washington, D.C., and kiss the ground and expect everybody to recognize you and say, hey, welcome home. It's all going to be okay now. You know, that's just doesn't happen like that. Yeah. But I do respect the desire in people to be rooted and to feel at peace, you know. And certainly, if anybody deserved to feel at peace, Jean Rhys did, after what she'd been through in England and Paris.
A view of the empire at sunset begins with the Rhys character Gwendolyn as a child in Dominica and evolves to her departure for the UK and her life as an actress, an outsider, and a kept woman in England and Europe, with all the precariousness and emotional turmoil those situations entail. Prominent among these is her status as an outsider in England, a curiosity which creates a longing to be recognized as a whole person and not a convenient stereotype.
People want to be recognized in their full complexity, but societies have a way of reducing you. And they do it in all sorts of insidious ways, as I said, often beginning with one's name. You know, the number, you know, if I had a dollar for every time I've been called Sunshine, really? You know, I'd be doing not so much anymore. But, everybody knows that people have a way of diminishing you by using, women go through it all the time, you know, love, dearie. It throws you out of sync, you know, temporarily. So, it's something which people are always maneuvering and trying to find the right terminology, the right sense, but it all boils down to this. You want to be recognized for the full complexity of who you are. You don't want to have to do that most damaging of things, which is traduce your own identity in order to accommodate somebody else's myopia.
But Mr. Phillips's novel is multidimensional. He captures the social dimension of an emigrant's alienation in an unfriendly host country. But he also brings the reader up close to the character.
I wasn't really interested in her as a writer when I was writing this. So it's not biographical in that sense. What I was interested in is the interior dereliction of the person, because that landscape, that emotional landscape, enables her to write. But before I understand her writing, I have to understand the topography of hurt and shame. And that's all I'm really interested in anyway. With any character, you have to know, you can't write about anybody unless you know what keeps them awake at night. You know, you need to know when they wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, why are they waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and what are they thinking about? If you don't know that, you don't know the character. So you have to find a way of getting close to the things that disturb them that they cannot talk to anybody else about. Because if you can't reveal that, you're basically writing on the surface. So I don't need to know about Jean Rhys as a writer. I need to know about Jean Rhys as a person who could not cope with certain aspects of her life and why she couldn't.
After his reading, Mr. Phillips was also asked about the social responsibility of a writer and whether he feels writers have a responsibility for their societies, with reference to what was happening now in Britain and the political and social turbidity around Brexit and immigration.
Every writer has a different register of what they consider their responsibility to be. But I feel deeply affected by what's going on in Britain. I feel saddened by what's going on in Britain, to be honest. I'm talking about Brexit. I'm talking about the whole Windrush scandal. And why do I feel saddened? I feel saddened for the reasons that we feel concerned about our societies, because I've got family who live there. I've got nephews and nieces growing up there. I want it to be a better place. What can I do about it? Well, I'm not a politician, but I can write, you know, so I can write about it and I can say something about it. That's all I have to offer, you know, is to be able to write. So yeah, I feel affected by it, and I feel saddened because it remains to me, I've said this before, it remains to me a country which is reluctantly post-colonial but stubbornly pre-European. And that's not a good place to be, and especially for the next generation.
Given his consistent probing of the themes of belonging, emigration, return, and alienation, Mr. Phillips was asked about where he considered home, whether St. Kitts, the US, or the UK.
I have a real, it's not even an affection. All four of my grandparents are from St. Kitts. I was born in St. Kitts. You know, without the Caribbean, I would have been a different writer. I had to understand the Caribbean before I could even write, because it's where I saw the light of day. By the same token, I learned to read and write in England. You know, I got called a nigger in England. Nobody called me a nigger in St. Kitts. The hurts and the growth happened in England. And then I've lived in New York and in the United States. And I went to the United States initially for 1 year, and I wasn't sure whether to go. So I called Linton, Kwesi Johnson, and I said, Linton, I want to meet C.L.R. James. So he took me down to, I went to, met him in Railton Road, and I remember going up to see CLR, who was watching cricket. And I, you know, it's actually quite amusing, because Linton had said, there's this fella, he didn't say fella, he said, there's this writer friend of mine, Carol Phillips, who wants to meet you. And he said, sure, sure. And when I got up to the bedroom, Linton looked at me and went, you see, because CLR had kind of put a hat on and prettied himself. He thought it was a woman coming to visit him. So he felt like, you know. So I saw the look of disdain, you know, when I came in. And I said to CLR in between overs, I said, I've been offered the chance to go to America to teach. Do you think I should go? And he said, yes, because every young man should go to a place where they can grow and learn. And so in a sense, I feel that all three places are a sense of home, or a kind of home for me. I don't really feel out of tune in any of those places now. I feel perfectly comfortable. It took a while, but I feel perfectly comfortable in St. Kitts and in the Caribbean. Absolutely comfortable. I feel absolutely comfortable in Britain, given the, you know, caveats that I've talked about. And, you know, I know the States, you know, I've lived there for so long. But if I had to choose, if I did have to choose, I think I would simply quote Robert Frost, who said, you know, home is a place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. You know, and I'm not going to choose, because I don't know which one of those places would have to take me in. It's nothing to do with a passport, because I have passports from all three places. So it's nothing to do with anything legal. Psychologically, in terms of growth and in terms of being able to write, being able to express myself, I don't want to have to chop off any part of myself in order to, you know, fill in a box somewhere.
Thank you for joining us. You may find us online at www.ansacaribbeanawards.com, on Facebook, or on YouTube.